Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I think we witnessed great liberty this morning, and just liberty to be in Christ and to see people respond to the gospel, and even liberty to start up the invitation song again. I mean, it's just where God's Spirit is at work, there's great liberty, and God wants us to have that kind of liberty. He wants us to just really come to that place where we're just free in Him, just to let go. And I want you to really think about this, because I want you to really understand what it means, but to let go and let God. So many times in my life, I got in the way of the Spirit working. And I regret that I got in the way of God wanting to do what God wanted to do in and through my life and in and through the people around me. And I was a hindrance to the Spirit instead of just flowing with the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to work. This afternoon or this evening, we are going to be speaking from Hebrews chapter 13. And one of the great joys of my life was to know Brother Lawrence Nevels. And I know some of you probably know him as, I think he was the principal at North Harrison for a few years. And I knew him first as director of missions for Harrison Baptist Association. And when I first started pastoring up there to Eagleville, I asked if he would come and do a revival for us. And that first sermon, Brother Lawrence, he stood in the pulpit and delivered tremendous word of God. And I, when he got done and we had the closing prayer and all of that, the invitation was over. And I went back to the back of the church, and he gathered his stuff and come down the aisle to meet me at the back of the church while he's having the closing prayer. He come back and he said, "I would rather preach than eat." And I said, after all of these years of preaching, I said, "What's it like to get up and preach?" I said, "It's just easy to get up there." And he said, "Well, it's okay once you get rid of the butterflies." And I've got Lawrence's butterflies tonight a little bit, just a little bit nervous to preach. But it's just such a blessing to stand in the pulpit and to preach God's word. I'm a little bit nervous about where this might go, but I've been praying all day long that I could just open my mouth and let the words come out from God, and that it wouldn't be anything of myself. Before we begin our scripture here this evening, let us pause and let us ask God to deliver the message, to open our hearts that we might respond to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your love. And we come now just seeking Your face, God. There's nothing that we can do. There's not anything, Lord, that of myself that I could do in any way to change a person's life. But Lord, we know how the Holy Spirit, the Holy Presence of God, can come and minister to the needs, can come and wake up the people, Lord, open their eyes, open their hearts, that they might draw near to You. And I pray, God, that You just come and do the work that needs to be accomplished here this evening. And I thank You for each one that's here, Lord, and I pray that You just bless us all together. It's such a joy, Lord, together in Your house with Your people, and I count it as a joy, and I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to just be Your servant here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, and starting with verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue." And I read McGee on this, and he said, "I would interpret that brotherly love as brother love. It's not just a brotherly love that all mankind should have for all mankind, but it's the love of the brethren. It's the love of the brothers and sisters in Christ. We should love each other." Jesus said that love should be a testimony to the world. He said, "They will know." Wouldn't it be great if they knew that we are His disciples if we have love for one another? I think we've seen great love demonstrated this week. And I feel blessed to be in a church that comes together and helps a family in need, a family in crisis, and reaches out in love and doing everything that they can. And it's such a blessing and such a joy to do that. But I want to encourage you here tonight to let brotherly love continue. Don't ever get to the point in your life. I kind of did that after I quit preaching. I get the point in my life where I thought, well, I've done enough now. Let me just set back for a little bit. And we should never get to that place in our life where we just think, well, I can just coast here for a while. I've done my part. No, we need to continue in that love. Let brotherly love continue. It says in verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And, you know, we could go real haywire on this verse, and I know people have. But, I think there are sometimes you just you just meet certain people and you just feel like you've been in the presence of God. You just feel like that person is just so in tune with God and so close to God. And it's not anything about that person. It's just the Spirit of God working in their lives. And I know so many times we get busy and we flash through life and we just go along our own way and we miss out on those opportunities. And it says here that we do not forget. It says don't forget. And don't forget to take time to entertain those strangers, because you don't know what you might miss in those encounters. It says here in verse 3, it says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. And as I think about this verse and I think about the prisoners, and I just think about how we are prisoners of sin. I mean, I was held captive for so many years just by the lust of my own heart. And how it just filled up my whole being and it took me away from the things of God. And God wants us to be free from that. And he says here to remember those prisoners. I know from where I came, and I know those chains that bind us up and hinder us. And God wants us, he wants us to remember those and those who are mistreated. And he says here that since yourselves are in the body also, and he wants that body of Christ to come together to minister to those needs. And I want to focus here on this verse 4, because this is really what led me to this passage of Scripture. And I don't know how much we're going to talk about marriage here tonight. Tim's already talked about it, and he's talked about Wendy and how they walk together through ministry, and I understand that perfectly. God has given me a great opportunity to minister with my wife, and it's been such a great joy. And it says here that marriage is honorable among all. And I'm here to tell you this evening that if there's anybody that's messed it up as much as they could mess it up and still have an opportunity to see God at work through marriage, I've done that. And I'm not the one who should be talking about marriage. I just think about all the godly examples around us of people who've really done a great job and stuck it together and stuck it out through the thick and thin and have come out on the other side of it just in a joyous, wonderful, honorable marriage. And I've had a lot of examples like that in my life. And I want to tell you, I messed it up the first time around, and I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And I messed up my marriage. And because of that, I thought that I didn't have any opportunity to know and understand that love. But I thank God that he's a God of second chances. And I couldn't even imagine a more fitting person for me than my wife. And what a joy it is to serve the Lord together as we have these many years. But it says marriage is honorable among all. And I think that we as Christians, we need to be an example of what God wants to accomplish through our marriages. We need to, first of all, be an example to our children. Our children need that security of understanding how precious a mom and a dad is, and that mom and dad's going to be there for them. And that mom and dad is going to teach them the Word of God. Mom and dad is going to honor God as they honor each other in that marriage. The Bible says that marriage is honorable. And you find a lot of ways that God is honoring each other and honoring that family and honoring those around through the honor of that marriage. And God wants to do a tremendous work through us. And I want to tell you, say, well, I've been married for 75 years. And, you know, we can't even hardly find our way to the bed anymore. And how are we going to honor each other? But you can just think about all of those children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that you still need to be an example for, and to show them the honor of loving that precious person till the end. God wants us to be that example for our kids and for our grandkids and so on. It says, marriage is honorable among all, the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And you know what? I can't point a finger at anybody, because I'd be pointing a finger back at me. And this is literally the reason that my first marriage failed, was because of adultery. And how it breaks my heart to stand before you and to tell you these things. But it also makes me so thankful for the God that we serve. Because he can come and he can make that was old and used up and done away with, and he can make it new and fresh and exciting. Bible says here in verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Man, when we look into the Word of God and we look into the world and we try to make a comparison there, and we see great contrast when we make that comparison. And we see that God says that we need to be content with what we have, and the world says we need to grab for all the gusto we can get. And so that's a conflicting message, and that conflicting message is not only what we're hearing and seeing every day, and we're trying and striving to read the Word of God and uphold the Word of God, but can you imagine how hard it is for our little ones who don't yet understand the Word of God, and those who haven't been brought up in that great counsel of God's Word, and the conflict that is in their heart because they're listening to the world, and the world is saying, grab all the gusto that you can get, just do it. They're saying, do it now, do it for yourself. The one that I hate the most, the commercial I hate the most, is it's my money and I want it now. And this is the mindset of the world. And God is in great conflict with that because he says, be content with what you have. I mean, be satisfied. As Tim was preaching this morning, I've seen this cabin they're living in. And I'll tell you, it's pretty small. And it's a great testimony of how you can be content with what you don't even have. Somebody else's. And you can be content with it. I mean, God wants us to be, you know, it's something I've struggled with all my life. I guess it's confession time for me, but it's something I've struggled with all my life, just being wholly satisfied with everything I have instead of wanting more. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said. Look at the promise here. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, it's because of Jesus. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done that we can be content with what we have. So we may boldly say, verse 6, as we pick up again in the text, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. We don't have to fear anything that this world can hurl at us. And the Bible says that old Satan, he's going to hurl those fiery darts at us. He's going to hurl them at you. Man, he's going to try to destroy your marriage. He's going to try to destroy your relationship with your kids. He's going to try to break down your relationships with each other within the body of Christ. I mean, the old Satan's at work, and he's always trying to nitpick and tear apart and divide. But the Bible says, it says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. We go on in verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. When I read that verse, I think about Brother Jim King. He was my pastor when I was a kid. Actually, under his leadership of the church and his ministry, I come to know Jesus Christ. Have much to be thankful for, as I remember Brother Jim. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Now think of my parents. It wasn't always this way in my house, but it came to a point where things changed. A new leaf was turned over. And Christ became the center of our household. And what a great blessing and privilege that was. We'd always gone to church, but there was something different happened. It's when Jesus came and ruled and reigned in the hearts and lives of the people in the Smith family. And things got different. And I thank God for a mom and dad who took me to church and who spoke the word of God freely in our home, who sang the songs of old that taught me the scripture. And help me to understand who God is. What a blessing that is to remember those There's many, many other. I've already mentioned Lawrence Nevels and such like him, Brother Bob Nichols, people who I look back in time and I think, what a privilege it was as a kid to hear the Word of God preached. What a blessing. What a privilege. And we need to remember those. It says, those whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And we're going to conclude here tonight with verse 8. It's kind of like when Paul gets to chapter 3 of Philippians and he says, finally, dear brethren, and then goes on for two chapters, right? Because there's a lot to say when you start talking about Jesus. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot in my life has changed. Man, we can look into our lives and we can see that I'm not the same person I was even yesterday. Things change all the time with me. Before we could even think about it, life changes, doesn't it, Dennis? It's hard. That's why we need Jesus. He's the same. He hasn't changed. He's always there for you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. I'll fail you. I won't be there when you need me. There's going to be times I won't listen to you when you're talking to me. Not so with Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He won't leave you high and dry. He's always excited when you turn over a new leaf. He's always ready to embrace you. He's always ready to draw you in. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all people unto me. That's my Jesus that I'm talking about. He's the sweetest person in this world. McGee said that people flocked around him because of his humanity. He was the best guy you'd ever want to meet. They turned away from his message. But man, they come and sit on his lap when he was there with the crowds. They wouldn't climb trees so that they could see him. They was drawn to him. I mean, he was the most precious gift of God. And he gave Jesus to us so that we might have life everlasting. So that we can live in his presence forever. That's what God wants to do in and through our lives. And we want to continue on. We want to be steadfast in the faith and embrace each other in brotherly love. And we don't want to forget those who preach and teach the Word of God. We want to honor our marriages. And we want to do everything that God has said here in his Word. And we want to do it for the glory of Christ. That he should be and could be and will be lifted up in our midst so that people can come to him. When we have church and we think about all the things that we want to do, I want you to understand something. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. This evening, as we ponder on this scripture, as we think about what God has spoken to our hearts, I want you to let your heart go to him. I want you to respond to what he says. If he's spoken to your heart tonight, as we have the hymn of invitation, I want you to come to him. Come to Christ. And come and embrace Jesus. I mean, fall in love with Jesus. You'll never regret it. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the same. And he's going to be the same throughout eternity. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the many things that we've seen and heard. And we pray here tonight, God, that you could have your way with our hearts. And as we have this invitation, Lord, we pray that the name of Christ would be lifted up and glorified and honored. And how we come before you now, needing your strength and guidance and your blessing, pray that this would encourage the people to continue, Lord, in brotherly love and to do the things that it says in your word, that we might grow in you, be nurtured, strengthened, and renewed. Just be with us now as we have this invitation. I pray that this would be your time and that we'd be free, liberty in you, Lord. We'd have freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's have our hymn of invitation.